trying to center it. Pezzetta sends it back. Jack Connor shoots. Goal! Arthur Jack Connor with his first of the preseason. He's making a bid for a roster spot.
All right. I wanted Gort's calls because he was here last night with Mike Johnson. And that did not appear to be in sync.
The levels were really weird. On I don't know if it was like that for the whole game.
No, I watched them. They were having a great time in the booth. Welcome back. Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690 every Wednesday at this time. TSN's Gord Miller. How you doing?
I'm great, thank you.
Yeah, that was an enjoyable broadcast, I think. I think, Gord, you've seen more of them than I have. Senators games are going to be like that this year.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, people say, oh, preseason games, who cares? And for sure, like if you're, you know, Cole Caulfield and Nick Suzuki, yeah, you're just, you know, trying to get yourself tuned up for next week. But for guys in the bubble, these are some of the most important games they've played yet in their career. Right? For Caden Gooley, you could see after the giveaway that led to the Ottawa goal when he fumbled the puck a little bit. You know, that's a big moment for him. He's trying to make this team. Now, just because you don't make it for opening night doesn't mean you're not going to be here, but you're trying to make this team and you're trying to show the coaches you can play at this level. It means a lot to the guys trying to make these teams. And I think it sounds like a strange thing to say, but I find these games compelling because there's this competition with the opposition, but you're competing internally too, right? Like you're watching you got to know the guys are watching Jack Eye and thinking, like, what is he bringing to the table that maybe I don't, where he could make this team and I might not?
See, for me, Gord, exhibition hockey, it's a slow build. I really stay away from the first couple of games. It's awful hockey. But as we get closer to the start of, like right now, where we are right now in the exhibition season, the last couple of games I have watched, and I watched the last two, and then we're ready to go, and we can anticipate who's going to be on the team, who's not going to be on the team. As you mentioned, Caden Gooley after the game.
Not really up to me at that point. I think, I've said it before, just trying to come to the rink every day, work hard, and have a good attitude. You know what? Whatever they decide to do with me, I'll respect that, and I'll do that. So whatever happens here is whatever happens, it happens.
Okay, again, another young player that you've seen a lot of over the – well, not as much as we normally would because of COVID. That's a fact. How much of a factor ultimately do you think that is when the Canadians cut down that Gooley just hasn't had a lot of games?
He hasn't played a lot. He's been hurt. There's been COVID. So it depended what league you were in, right? So in the Ontario League, they didn't play at all. The Western League played a little, and the Quebec League played the most. So from a scouting perspective, from a development perspective – it's really, you know, there's a lot of unanswered questions here. And so I think it's definitely a factor. He needs to have played more. And, you know, he's a really good player. There was a lot to like last night about Caden Gooley. And, you know, you're going to make mistakes. That's part of the deal, right? And there was a little expression in football that for every rookie that starts for your team, that's a loss. And, you know, it just takes reps and experience to get to the NHL level. These are like you saw it the other night when Toronto was playing Montreal. Jake Allen made a momentary mistake, like he just exposed the near post a little bit, and zing, Alex Kerfoot put it in the net. Like at that level, right? They little mistakes cost you.
There's so much to like about him. He's obviously, he seems already wise as a young man. He's very mature.
He's terrific. He's had leadership roles wherever he's been. So, you know, you guys are so tired of me saying this. He's a kid.
But this guy, this dude here, he doesn't appear to be a kid.
Oh, it was awesome. You can't even describe the feeling. I mean, I didn't even put my stick in there because I was in pretty shock. But it's awesome.
Jack Eye.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, they obviously have their mind made and with how things are going to work. And I'm not sure. I just take it game by game. And whenever I'm put in, I try to do something out there to show that I want to be here.
The kid from Costco, Gord. I know you opened up your eyes, right?
A couple years ago, eh?
Yeah.
Great kid. the story is really compelling. It's a really good story, and he's a self-made player, really. He went unpicked through two Ontario Hockey League drafts. He went unpicked through three NHL drafts, right? Like, it's just, I think that stories like that I really appreciate for a guy who, you know, he probably wasn't thinking when he was an 18-year-old in the OHL, yeah, I'm going to play in the NHL. He's probably not thinking that. And, you know, based on everyone else had higher pedigree than he had. But he just kept working away, getting better. Some people mature later. And he just, I mean, look, he left a trail of devastation behind him in the OHL last year. I talked to OHL coaches about him.
Yeah.
People were terrified of him. And you can see why last night.
Yeah, Aaron Ward's... one of Aaron's teammates, of course, in Detroit was Joey Kosher. And I just, when I saw the preseason scrap that he was in, I said, it looks like, as I've seen some of his YouTube fights as well, he's got like Joey Kosher in his fists. I mean,
that's going to be a limited part of the game. I mean, fighting is is not a big part of the game. And defenseman fighting is almost unheard of now because you just can't afford to take one of your six guys off the ice for 5 minutes. Good.
No, finish your thought. I'm sorry.
Well, the element of toughness, he's mobile, he's big. So as Mike Johnson said last night, as a player, big doesn't scare me. Big and mobile scares me because now you get into mass, you know, times acceleration, and it starts to hurt.
I think a lot of people had him at the start of camp as someone we were definitely going to see at some point, but would probably start in Laval. Now there seems to be this feeling because nobody's really, moved out in front.
No one's kicked the door in, really. Like, no one's really kicked that door in and said, you got to put me on the team. And I would say that for the forwards, too. Like, is anyone in the forward group of the young guys, has anyone really kicked in that door? Now, they're kind of built down the middle a little, their top three, you could even say four center spots are kind of taken.
Yep.
So, but I mean, even on the wings, like, has anyone really kicked in the door and said, yeah, like, he's grabbed his spot?
Well, especially on the blue line, because there are spots open, what do you think they do then? It must be, like, Marte St. Louis, I think the other day said he wants them to know that they are in a battle, but seemingly, as of right now, no one has taken the reins and run with it. Do you just... I don't know what kind of a message that sends if you just give a spot to a rookie for no reason, or you go with a veteran just because they're a veteran. I don't know how you deal with something like that.
Yeah, I think it's got to be a merit system. But I would say this. It doesn't, making the team next Monday or whenever they make the decision isn't the end of it. There'll be lots of change. Guys that are going to Laval aren't going to be there all year. They're going to come up. So, but you want to be in the opening night lineup. And the one thing about training camp, because after this weekend, Martin St. Louis is not going to see a lot of the guys in Laval, right? He's busy coaching the Canadians. He's not going to see them every day. So the one thing you do in training camp is you put a stamp kind of in the coach's mind. He has a mental picture of the kind of player you are and what you can do.
Do you agree, Gord, that the game we saw last night, and you work all the vast majority of Ottawa Senators games, regional games, that's we're going to see a lot of that this season from them?
Yeah, I think they can really move the puck around. DeBrincat's a big addition for them. DeBrincat brings an element that they haven't had of a one-touch goal scorer. Like, if the puck's anywhere near his feet, it's got a really good chance of winding up in the net. I was astonished yesterday seeing that only Jeremy Roenick and Denny Savard scored more goals for Chicago in their first 5 years. Like, you think about the guys Chicago's had, in 100 years of hockey.
Bobby Hull?
Bobby Hull, fewer than that in his first 5 years. He's had 240 goal years. Like, he brings an element they don't have. I think the question for them is going to be, Cam Talbot's going to be out for 5 to 7 weeks with a broken rib. So, Ottawa the last 2 years has won 4 of the first 20 games and 5 of the first 20 games. They can't do that. because you just dig yourself a hole you can't get out of. If they can be competitive through the first 20 games, I think they've got a pretty good team. That they seem to have a lot of elements. Now, can they make the playoffs? All 8 teams in the Eastern Conference last year that made the playoffs had 100 points. Ottawa had 73. Now, there's likely to be fewer free points in the East this year. Like Detroit's probably better. Buffalo's probably better. So they won't, but say the cut line's 97. That means Ottawa's got to win 12 more games than it won last year. That's a lot.
I'm just looking at Bobby Hull. His rookie year, he scored 13 goals. Then he went to 18. Yep. Then he jumped to 39, and he didn't stop for the rest of his career. Yeah. So there's an example of DeBrincat passing Bobby Hull. Go ahead, Andy.
Gord, how much does a young player's play through the preseason move the needle on what the coaching staff and management wants to do with them? I mean, they kind of know these guys already a little bit, but when you think about like Owen Beck and that 3-year entry-level deal he played, do you think that was always the plan for him to sign that deal when he came in, or did he play himself into that contract?
No, they were always going to sign him. And really, when he signs it, aside from the fact he gets the signing bonus now, it was a nice little boost for him. But, he's going back to Mississauga in all likelihood. At least for one more year, probably two. I mean, that contract's not going to start for 3-4 years. So it doesn't really matter when you sign it. But, it's great to get it. And it's a vote of – now, put it this way. If you don't have one after year one, after you've been drafted, now you start to wonder.
Right.
So he's a good player, by the way. He's a really good player. There's a lot there.
And he's got a little bit of bite to him, too.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say – he's got a little bit of, there's a lot to like there.
All right, I want to go to the nation's capital. This was yesterday. It's coming.
I think stability is an important consideration, especially in view of the fact that we have an entire board that's up for election in just a couple of months' time. And I don't think it's in the best interest of hockey or Hockey Canada for this organization to be destroyed. I don't think that a mass exit, if all the board were to resign and if all of senior management to be replaced, who would they be replaced with? What will that mean for hockey? I think that there is a significant risk to the organization if all of the board resigns and all of senior leadership is no longer there. I think that will be very impactful in a negative way to our boys and girls who are playing hockey. Will the lights stay on the rink? I don't know.
Andrea Skinner, Gord, I used the word obtuse earlier in the show to describe what went down yesterday. I had only heard the quotes. Watching her on screen, she's clearly reading these remarks. I mean, what is going on there?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it is an absolute affront to the thousands and thousands of people that volunteer across the country in various minor hockey organizations to suggest that if the board of directors of Hockey Canada were replaced, that suddenly the lights would go up. It's an astonishing statement. I've never met her. I don't know what the thinking is there. I don't know how that disconnect happens. But hockey's going to go on and be fine, regardless of who's on the board of Hockey Canada. At the grassroots level, kids playing, minor peewee aren't going to notice if there's a different board of directors at Hockey Canada. Now, hopefully, a new board and new people in the management area will bring some change in terms of attitudes and everything else. But to suggest that somehow the day-to-day activities of hockey are dependent on who the board members are is just an astonishing statement.
To suggest that anybody's trying to destroy Hockey Canada when all they're trying to do is make it better instead of being embarrassment. They seem to be victimizing themselves here. We see
that. Right? I mean, there's one element of this that I think, we need to wait and see what these investigations bring forward, because we don't know really what happened in some of these cases yet, but we do know that there was a lack of transparency. And that's the big issue. There seems to be a lack of transparency and a lack of accountability in dealing with these things. And that's been clear cut. As for, demanding, changes in regards to what happened allegedly in London and allegedly in Halifax and elsewhere, we don't know yet what happened. Gord, we don't know the facts yet.
There are, you know, whispers or a whistleblower that had pointed out that there were, executives staying in $5,000 a night hotel presidential suites through Hockey Canada. I find that also very hard to swallow, hearing that clip about keeping the lights on when you're looking at a misappropriation of funds to that scale.
I don't know that that happened, to be honest. I do know that, you know, I don't know. We'd have to see the actual books on it. I know this: when TSN books, you know, like a large number of rooms at the World Junior Championship in a hotel, the hotel gives us the presidential suite as a throw-in. So I don't know if that happened there. I don't know. I can't say. I have no firsthand knowledge. I don't see that. When I see Hockey Canada people traveling, they tend to stay in the same hotels we're in. So I don't know. You know, I've not heard about that kind of largesse. I've heard about rings, but, you know, championship rings might be distributed to people. I don't know. So, again, we need the biggest thing that we need to hear from Hockey Canada is transparency. That's the biggest thing we need to see and hear is transparency. Here's what happened. Here's what's going to change.
Are you surprised? Because this just came out in the last 10 minutes here from Rick Westhead saying that Tim Hortons has informed Hockey Canada that they will not advertise in men's hockey programming for 2022-2023, including the World Juniors. And we've seen other sponsors before. I mean, Tim Hortons also saying that they are going to continue to support the women and the para games or para teams as well. But have you been surprised with the fact that seemingly it's when the money starts leaving and going out the door that the axe starts to fall on people's heads? How surprised are you that that Hockey Canada have been so resolute and just kind of stayed together throughout all of this when they seem to be losing sponsors left, right, and center?
Well, with all due respect to Tim Hortons, they can direct their sponsorship dollars wherever they want in terms of events. It all goes to the same place. So, like, if you advertise in the Women's World Championship, that money doesn't go into women's hockey. It goes to Hockey Canada. There's no differentiation between what you're advertising on and where the money goes. So you're still giving your money to Hockey Canada. So I think that's more of a PR statement than...
Yeah, it's symbolic.
They don't want their... Yeah, I think they don't want their brand on certain events, which is fine, but just understand the money still goes to Hockey Canada.
Okay, but let's go back a few months ago, just the same thing.
Well, first of all, I mean, on the World Junior, the money would go to TSN. We've already paid Hockey Canada for the rights to the event. The advertising money would go to TSN. So I'm not sure what that accomplishes, to be honest.
No, but we saw from Canadian Tire also in the off season. I mean, were all these things symbolic in your mind that there wasn't really any teeth to them in the end?
If you're going to advertise on one and not the other, so it's like, you know, we're going to unpack this quickly. But if your feeling is that you don't like what Hockey Canada's done, and you don't want to punish the women for it. Well, why would you punish the World Junior players? They had nothing to do with it. Why would you punish the under-18s? They had nothing to do with it. I mean, and the money all goes to, like, TSN pays Hockey Canada as part of a, you know, a multi-year sponsorship deal, or sorry, rights deal, and then goes out and sells the sponsorship. Now, they in turn go out, you know, Hockey Canada goes out and sells sponsorships, rink boards and you know, title sponsorships and things like that. But if you're unless you can somehow direct the money and say, okay, we're still going to be a title sponsor of Hockey Canada. Well, that money is still going to be directed to various places. It doesn't really make a difference.
This is a corporate headquarters in this country deciding that we got to do something. We got to say something,
right,
and do something
to move the needle.
They've
made a statement. Yeah. They've made a statement, for sure. They've made a statement, and I applaud that. I'm just saying that it's more symbolic than anything. I mean, put it this way. TSN's not going to put the test pattern up for 30 seconds during what would have been a Tim Hortons spot.
Why am I thinking of Dan Rather and George Bush? Thank you, as always. It was great listening to you guys last night, and we'll talk next week as the NHL season is almost here. Gord Miller.
Sounds good.
Thanks. Bye. you guys get that reference? Dan Rather, George Bush.
I sadly did not.
I did not get it, but I understood what he said. I didn't get your reference, though.
Well, he was doing a rather hard-hitting, contentious interview with Bush, and Bush, they replaced the interview with a dark screen.
Oh, my.
Yeah, Bush didn't want to talk anymore.
All right, then.
All right, the fight for jobs for the Montreal Canadiens 2022 continues as we speculate next with Aaron Ward on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690.